everyone, and welcome to the Transform Your Confidence Show. This is a show about holistic leadership and advocacy, and I'm your host, Raj Gurn. Here's a bit about me. I'm a longtime serial entrepreneur who specializes in mindset, branding, media, communications, and marketing, and I firmly believe that great leadership and advocacy is predicated on the mission that everyone must benefit across the entire food chain. I'm an award-winning C-suite entrepreneur who has worked in the media and event space for the past 20 years with many Fortune 500, celebrity, and thought leader clients from around the world. At this point in my life, I seek to share my many insights and resources with anyone who wants to learn about holistic leadership and advocacy in a newly launched online community at the openchestconfidenceacademy.com, where I've mandated my entire organization to provide products and services that center around knowledge, action, and accountability. My goal with this show is to pull back the curtain, I mean way back, to bring you insider knowledge and resources on how today's changemakers are leading with intention and creating meaningful environments that serve everyone. I also want to help you reimagine what your life could be if you had a constant view from the top of the mountain. I believe that in order to get there and stay there, you need to learn from those who have a constant and unobstructed view of nirvana. These are not just the usual suspects, but the ones that sit in the middle of the volcano as the lava explodes to the top of the mountain. They are the crazy ones who change the world, and they are the ones that I want you to meet. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi, guys. Thanks for tuning in to another great episode of the Transform Your Confidence Show. In this week's theme of leadership and advocacy, part two of my two-part series is entitled Why We Need More Holistic Leadership in Media. I speak with one of today's most revered media leadership executives, Kirsten Stewart, and here's what we cover in part two. How can we lead teams effectively now with what we know about the potential permanency of virtual workforce environments? Are women being forced out of the workforce right now due to lack of infrastructure to support them as working mothers during the pandemic? How holistic leadership is about measuring productivity rather than structure? What today's opportunity is for media and content creators that wasn't there before? And if women are better poised to take the charge on reimagining leadership to be more holistic in nature. Here's a bit about Kirsten before I bring her on. In addition to her current role as the head of Shaping the Future of Media, she is also a member of the executive committee at the World Economic Forum. Previous to this, she was the vice president of media for Twitter North America after successfully launching and building the first Canadian Twitter office in Toronto. Prior to this, she was the head of the Canadian Broadcast Corporation, where she is credited to reviving its relevancy with consumers with shows like Dragon's Den, Murdoch Mysteries, and Schitt's Creek. And before CBC, Kirsten headed up Canada's HGTV and Food Network, managing 37 international channels. Please welcome to part two, the incredible Kirsten Stewart. The gig economy, that's got to be the most difficult thing to lead, considering you're constantly onboarding new people. And that has created this whole kind of idea of needing to onboard people, which wasn't so much the thing, you know, a generation ago.
And then with the pandemic, we're all sitting at home and we're distanced, you know, like how do you lead in a world where I'm sitting in my couch and you're sitting on your chair and, you know, we don't get to stand around water coolers necessarily anymore and bond in those ways that we could, or to share ideas or to hop across the desk and say, hey, Raj, have you thought about this? Or, you know, how's it going on that project? That's not possible anymore. It's just, and, you know, in the beginning, when you talk about bad leadership or bad management, I would hear these stories, particularly of young, you know, people in younger ages and more junior roles being told to leave their cameras on all day so their bosses could be sure that they were working. Wow. Like, what an invasion and what a lack of trust. And, you know, so sad to hear that this is, you know, the state that we got to, at least very early on in the pandemic. I think things kind of evened out because nobody could maintain that kind of, you know, sense of control. But, it just kind of points to questions of how we work moving forward when you don't have longevity in a career. You don't have longevity in a workplace. And you also don't have proximity in that workplace currently. And I don't know that we're ever going to get back to the same kind of proximity that we had pre-pandemic, because there's so many benefits now that people have found to working at home, that, you know, that there have been efficiencies, there have been better ways of working. So how we lead and manage through this is a whole other skill set that's going to have to be developed.
Absolutely. I feel that has a lot to do with the whole idea behind holistic leadership. You know, what does that mean and what does it include? And is it something that allows you to stay on track with the mission of the company, but keep things flexible? Or is it going to stay the way it has been in the past? Or, like, are we going to be reinventing the wheel? I mean, time is going to tell. It's good. We're living in very interesting times from that perspective.
Absolutely.
Right. So let me ask you this. What are some things that people should consider when looking to lead effectively, like right now with what we know?
It's interesting. I've even heard leaders having to start their new roles in this pandemic space where they've never physically even met the person that they're, or the team that they are responsible for. And you know, what a challenge that has been. And so I've asked them, I've said, like, how is it working for you? What do you do? And, some of the ways that people have been able to, you know, make sure that they're connected, against all the connections, we've been talking about that since the beginning. You know, keeping that connection strong means actually meeting people where they are. And, you know, we talk about that in lots of situations and senses, but never more important than now, where meeting where you are is, you know, distant, and bridging that gap, and feeling more connected means doing what it takes to accommodate the person that you're trying to help. Like, ultimately, we've heard through the pandemic, it's been quite devastating to see the impact, particularly on women in the workforce. And, you know, they talk about them dropping out of the workforce, when I don't like to call it dropping out. I like to call it being forced out, because ultimately it would not be their choice to step back. They're being forced to step back and drop down on their hours or drop out of the workforce completely because of the situation at home. And so I think for a manager or a boss in these moments, it's kind of our responsibility to step even beyond what we would normally use as regular measures of performance and what your expectation is to what good work looks like, and look more to output than look to how people get it done. Look at what is done, and try to empower someone or enable them and support them in whatever way it takes to get them. If it means that you're going to have to let, you know, somebody on your team, you know, do all their work after hours, because it turns out that, you know, in their tiny apartment where they're splitting it with three other people, there's only so much room at a desk at any given, or a table that could be substituted as a desk at any given time. You're going to have to allow that. If it's a matter of, you know, the kids are having to do homeschooling and I'm going to be the only teacher, then you're going to have to allow, you know, again, flexibility is going to be key. And so I think we learned a lot of that. And I think what has been a pleasant surprise for a lot of businesses is that we have not seen efficiency suffer. There have actually been higher levels of productivity. There's been, unfortunately, increased burnout because of that. They're seeing a huge amount of workforce burnout through the pandemic, and through people just going from Zoom meeting to Zoom meeting, to not quite knowing how to delineate between work and life and home and not at work, when home is your work. It's been challenging, but I think ultimately the responsibility of a manager or a leader is to meet people where they are and understand what their situation is and accommodate. I think that's really the only way we can get through this.
Absolutely. So in an ideal world, what should leadership be? Like, anyone that's tuning in, that, you know, they're getting ready to kind of go into a position of responsibility. To me, leadership means being in a position of responsibility. So literally everyone down the food chain, you know, has a has that position. Everyone needs to be a leader in their lives. Yeah. What are your thoughts around that?
I think you're right. I think that's, you know, and sometimes we don't recognize it enough. And that's when it leads to the frustration of people who feel like they're not getting ahead or moving ahead. Understanding that you contribute in everything that you do and that it really does take a team. Like I love, you know, I've had the experience of working globally in many different, you know, offices. Culturally, so many places are different. And the one thing I've loved particularly about working in the States is this kind of sense of building it, like a team is literally like a football team. Like there's a quarterback, there's a receiver, you know, there's the coach up and on the sidelines, there's the owner up in the box. You know, there's this real sense of, yes, there's a hierarchy and that everyone has their place, but nothing works without the other. You know, yes, you may have a star quarterback, but if the receiver isn't working, then, you know, then it doesn't matter. The decisions that the coach makes on the sideline doesn't matter if the people can't execute them. The coach can't do his job if the owner's not supporting him with giving him what he needs to build the right team. So it's really obvious that the more complicated work gets and the more businesses are having to redefine what success looks like, even on a bottom line or financial basis, it really is emboldening. It really is the challenge of good leadership to figure out how to tap into their teams in the most effective and efficient way to support a common goal and then to support common success. I think that's where you want to get to and achieve in the end is how can we all share in the success?
Absolutely. So much more I want to talk to you about leadership, but I want to also, since I know I've taken a lot of your time already and I want to be able to, you know, talk a little bit about the media side of things, just because, you know, I'm a firm believer that leadership and, you know, being your own media house are two things that you have no choice but to be today if you are in business, right? So, you know, what is the role of media?
I think you're a great example of it, Raj. Like I think, you know, building, you know, you have built your own mini empire. Like, and I think that's a great thing. You have taken the tools that you have available to you. You found them, and you've turned them on and switched it on and found a way to again connect to audience with stories. And I think that's, you know, never has there been more demand for content than right now. This was growing before the pandemic. The pandemic just accelerated it. Now that we're all in lockdown and, you know, stuck on couches, never has there been more a need for, information, content, and entertainment. And I think the opportunities out there, technology growing along with it at the same time has suddenly opened up and enabled all this opportunity for people to create content and stories in a way they couldn't before. Mm-hmm. So the definition of media has, you know, gone from a very one-way communication, broadcast kind of sense of somebody making a decision and an executive suite around, which is what my job used to be, to decide who gets to watch what, who gets to make what. And now that anybody can watch whatever they want, and now that anybody can make whatever they want, it's just a matter of the technology being able to enable that connection of the story to the creator, to the consumer, which has now happened, that has, you know, it's really fertile ground now for all of these stories to just flourish. And I think, you know, folks like yourself, Raj, you know, whether you've done it through magazine, through, you know, through podcasting, through these kind of stories that you tell, like that's, you know, to be able to, again, tell a holistic media story around, you know, what you want to impart. I think that's an amazing success story. It takes skill and it takes gumption and it takes ambition, but there's never been more opportunity to do so if you have those elements behind you.
Absolutely. So, Kirsten, what would you say are some things that people should consider when utilizing media content? You touched upon like the storytelling piece because that's kind of the center of the universe. That's, you know, the nucleus of, you know, why you should even be using media content today. You know, when you're looking to prospect or engage an audience, you know, and there's so many different reasons why people, you know, what conversion means to them. So I'm not going to tap into that, but you know, what would you say? Like, how does media content and storytelling factor into the prospecting, and the engaging of audiences or any kind of conversion touch point that someone's looking to accomplish from a business standpoint?
Well, ultimately, I think everybody is a content creator today. Everybody's in the media business. It, you know, wasn't too long ago when, you know, you had digital businesses and non-digital businesses, and then everybody became a digital business. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you had media and content companies, and then you had the other. Now, everybody from brands to distributors, like everyone understands they need to be in the media and content business. And so, again, through telling stories, what the important piece in, and element is, you can tell a story well. You can tell a story with a very high budget. You can, you know, you can make something very slickly produced. All of the technical aspects are there. But if they're not, if it's not told authentically, if it's not told rooted in trust, then it will fall flat. And so I think, you know, audiences give storytellers a huge, you know, a huge berth when it comes to how a story is told. We watch things on phones that are made, you know, for 2 cents. We watch really expensive, you know, high-end, really technical feature films in theaters or on our screens now at home. But we have a really wide scope of what we're willing to accept as entertainment or as content. The common piece to all of those stories and why they are successful is because they feel authentic to me. As a viewer, as an audience, and so whether that audience is a what we consider to be the kind of usual version of audience, which is a bunch of people sitting at home or sitting in a movie theater, or whether that audience is your business client or, you know, whoever you're trying to tell your story to, authenticity is incredibly key to making sure that that message connects, resonates, and sticks.
Absolutely. So we've got leadership. We have media. We understand both of these need to be dialed in, especially today. How do we do that, Kirsten? I mean, the big million-dollar question, right? How do we make that connection happen between the two?
Well, I think, you know, we've been talking a lot of common themes here. We've been talking a lot about empowerment, that really it's a matter of tools and opportunity and, you know, where we are today, that's actually empowering people to perform in different ways, whether they're leadership, whether they're on a team, or whether they're content creators and making something in the media space. It's all about, it's about access to tools that are letting you do this. We've talked about authenticity, about how authenticity is a leader, so that you are, that you understand what your role is, and that you understand that you have a purpose beyond yourself as in a business. And the authenticity that's required of a storyteller in order to connect properly with an audience. And we've talked about connection. You know, connection is very important as well, whether you're in leadership, your media, you know, these are natural pieces that need to align in order to be successful. So I think, you know, we've seen a huge amount of transition and disruption in the media landscape. We saw it earlier with a digital disruption that happened. Now we see it with the pandemic disruption that's happening. There's even more digital disruption that's been accelerated through this time, but there's never been more opportunity either. And so like there's never been more disruption to how we work and the future of work, and there's never been more disruption to the media landscape, those two things together can, you know, be overwhelming. But when you think about the opportunity of finding the best through both, you know, we have more opportunity to do better than we ever did before as well. So we're in this unique kind of place in time where never has anything been more messy, but never has there been any more hope, I think. And the path might not be necessarily obvious or clear, but what a great experiment in trying to figure out how to get there.
Absolutely. And you've already, you know, touched upon this, but with everyone in business needing to be a leader today and all businesses needing to be media houses, what do you feel as a world society that we need to do in order to reimagine our world, you know, kind of from that, from these different eras that you've already talked about, the Industrial Revolution, the digital revolution, now we're talking about being in this kind of whole era of the pandemic. What do you feel needs to happen here and exist today in order for us to create more of a holistic infrastructure without kind of losing this whole idea of, you know, knowing that we still have power to make those decisions? Like, what are your thoughts? That, you know, there's the church and state of it all, you know, holistic infrastructure. We kind of have this idea, politically speaking, of it being kind of more, you know, communist and communal in nature. And then we have the whole idea of, you know, we want to be able to have what we do in our lives be rewarded, which is the whole kind of capitalist side of things. Church and state, what are your thoughts here? I know it's a big question.
No, it is a big question, but I think a lot of people are grappling with it right now. And I think people are coming to terms with corporate responsibility. And not just in the sense that had been addressed in the last few generations, which is very much about like, what is the corporate responsibility when it comes to supporting charities or you know, in the more traditional aspects. There is a recognition that businesses have a real impact on the world, obviously.
Yeah.
That's been going on since the beginning of time. But I think there is more of a reckoning, I guess you can call it, when it comes to businesses. Again, when this new form of leadership has been taking their new roles and all of these new businesses, it also changes the way that they perceive their own success. So it, you know, nothing happens in isolation. And as businesses are moving along and we see different kinds of leaders now at the tops of these businesses, they're asking themselves the questions, they're asking people around them the question, what are we doing here? And what is our impact on the world? And how do we make sure that it is a positive one?
Right.
And so, you know, there, you would hope that more people than not have that position. It's not always the case. And when you ask about where the gaps are, I think where the concern is, whether it's in leadership or in media, it's those that are left behind. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, we saw through the pandemic, this really widening of a gap of those that have and those that have not. You know, you've seen companies, you know, do incredibly well through a very devastating time for people and, you know, make a lot of money. And you've seen people who just kind of, again, fallen out of the workforce, fallen out of society. There was no safety net for a lot of people. There still continues to be none. And so while companies are awakening to their responsibility to society, you know, will it be fast enough to make the real change that we're going to need in order to particularly come out of this pandemic where we've seen such a devastating impact on certain groups of people that aren't represented, you know, in those groups that did well through the, you know, there's very, you know, when you think about how much negative impact there has been, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And those that are left behind, you know, that's a huge responsibility that we, as those who are not behind, need to go and fix. Mm-hmm. And I think that of the same thing in media too. It's great to talk about, you know, our circles of media. We tend to, you know, all of us in the media business that know each other. And I think we can see the edges of that. There are things outside the edges, which we have to stretch and do that we don't necessarily look towards. And you talked at the very top about the systems that support all of this, particularly the media systems. They have not been reimagined in a number of years. Mm-hmm. Yes, we see new technology. There's new ways of seeing media, there's new ways of accessing it, but in a lot of ways, media is funded or the media is created. There are still gatekeepers that very much reflect the values or the experiences of people who, you know, are not necessarily representative of society today. And I'm talking about the lack of diversity, the lack of female voice, the lack of, you know, these are really, really important things that if we're going to tell authentic stories that we talked about before, you can't tell them authentically if you're not telling them in the voice and with the perspective of the people you're speaking to. So there's a lot of gaps out there. And I think in some ways, the pandemic made the gaps even more, it made it more obvious, that's for sure. In some cases, they made them worse. But I think the good thing is out of it is more discussion is happening and the society challenges of Black Lives Matter, of Me Too, of Stop Asian Hate. You know, these are all kind of, you know, moments in time where I'm hopeful that people don't go backwards afterwards and just kind of say, okay, we dealt with that. That was a hashtag. Now it's over. I think people are now to a point where they want to see real systemic change. And talking about those systems as you did at the top, that's what we're going to need to see change in order to see a true future.
Absolutely. You know, it begs the question, a final question for you, Kirsten, because you know I have to hit you up on this one. How can women leaders who research proves lead very different styles of leadership than their male counterparts? You know, and you know, most of us being that we're nurturing or rearing or however you want to look at that, we are more positioned and poised to bring that whole kind of holistic leadership style into the infrastructure if we decide that's the way that we want to go, and that potentially it might be the best way to make sure that everyone is included, a lot of what you've been talking about. Yeah. How do you feel something like that could happen, you know,
well, with a lot of these? We saw some great leadership, right? We saw some great female leadership through the really challenging time of the pandemic. We saw Prime Minister Ardern and New Zealand really step up and do for her country that others, you know, couldn't seem to do. You know, they had, you know, I think we've all been reading the reports of the countries that have done well in supporting their communities and their citizens through the pandemic have been with female leaders more than not. And so I think, you know, to your point, there's a lot of things that we associate with female leadership and nurturing, the empathy qualities. And, you know, hopefully those are qualities that are also evident in a lot of male leaders that we see as well that are successful. And I think that's, it's based on those qualities that we'll see real movement and change. And I think it's the assessment, the understanding that those qualities are no longer nice to haves. They're actually imperatives or must haves, because we need that holistic approach. We need that worldview, that consultative understanding. I can't imagine a leader. I would not expect any leader that I would vote into position to know necessarily how to scientifically handle a pandemic as we just had to be faced with. And yet I would expect them to know who to tap into and who to listen to in order to make informed decisions that will help me as their citizens, you know, thrive and survive. So that consultative approach, that understanding of the world around them and the holistic decision making that needs to take place, I think does tend to be inherent in female leadership. But anybody who has those traits, that's where we'll see success.
Absolutely. Kirsten, what a pleasure. I could talk to you for hours. It's just such a wealth of, you know, knowledge and perspective, right?
Well, it's so nice to catch up too. It's hard being locked down on either side of the borders right now. So absolutely. It's nice to see you here from LA.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, I wish I was there. It's snowing here right now, believe it or not.
I heard. I can't believe, well, you know, it's still spring, right?
Absolutely. It's not over until it's, you know, mid-May, you know?
Yeah. The resilience of Canadians.
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, absolutely agreed. So any final words that you want to close off with, Kirsten, to just kind of pull this, you know, whole idea of why we need more holistic leadership in media, because media still is king. Content still is king. Content still is the most powerful force because it allows us to have a platform to say and be who we need to be. Like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I think you're right when you call a platform. Like the reason I was very attracted to move from something like the CBC to Twitter was the opportunity to, again, bring power into the individual hands. Anybody who had a cell phone could tweet. Anybody who now has a cell phone can make a video, put up a TikTok, make a podcast. Like the empowerment of the beyond organizations to individuals has been incredibly inspiring. I think what we're challenged to do is make sure that those voices are heard. It's not good enough just to hand a microphone. You have to plug in the microphone into an amplifier at the same time. And I think those amplifiers are somewhat missing. And that's a structural problem that we have that we need to fix, that we can fix, because the structures are still there. As you pointed out at the top, they just haven't changed over the generations. Now they need to. And so I think I leave you with, you know, I think it's fantastic that people like yourself have really figured out ways to build incredibly compelling content through the tools that you have at hand. I think it's, you know, inherent on those that maybe have access to the amplifier to help amplify those messages and those stories so that they're all being heard.
Such a powerful ending. Thank you so much, Kirsten. What an absolute pleasure. I really want to bring you on again because you know that I have to pick your brain on everything else that's been going on out there, because I know that you have very specific perspectives and a unique, you know, take from, you know, the experiences that you've had and kind of the position you're in right now, where you're seeing a lot of what's happening around the world, where the intersection of technology and media and what that actually means for so many other things like commerce. There's so many things we haven't talked about.
Oh, yeah. Payments, right? Everything. Yeah. There's a whole cycle out there that's fascinating right now. Yes,
absolutely.
I'd love to talk more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kirsten. It's such a pleasure to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you, Raj. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Thank you so much for staying till the end, guys. I really hope you enjoyed the show and will action the many insights that were shared, some of which are a part of a larger discussion about how fractured our current infrastructure is because it hasn't seen the same rate of evolution that digitization, social and ethical responsibility, and multi-generational workforce values are demanding. If you haven't already done so, an excellent example of exploring some of these concepts can be read in Kirsten's best-selling book, Our Turn, that addresses a lot of this from the female leadership perspective. I highly recommend that you go pick up a copy because it's both insightful and easy to read. The best kind of self-help book, right, guys? My hope with this episode is that it will open your mind to think about your own relationship with leadership and authentic storytelling to further deepen your relationships down and across your ecosystem. If you found this episode to be valuable, I'm so glad. I ask that you subscribe to this podcast on the Apple, Android, and Spotify platforms. Search the Transform Your Confidence Show on our YouTube channel at the Open Chest Confidence Academy. And if you're an avid reader, we've also transcribed every podcast into a blog, which you can access at theopenchestconfidenceacademy.com/media/our-media. And please share with your networks so that they can also garner insights that I bring into each carefully curated show. And I invite you to join me in my private Facebook group at the Transform Your Confidence, where I share knowledge and resources about mindset, media, communications, branding, marketing, leadership, and advocacy for busy executives and entrepreneurs like you who are seeking to elevate the quality of their life. I pop in the group regularly to answer questions that members may have on any of these topics. So hop on over. It's free and insightful and full of great networking opportunities with people from around the world who, like you, are seeking to grow, level up, and accomplish the next big thing in their lives. As always, thanks for tuning in, guys. And until next episode, take care of yourself. Thank you so much for staying till the end. I really hope you enjoyed the show. Before you leave, I would love for your support by subscribing to my show and letting everyone you know about it and have them come take a listen. I would sincerely appreciate you joining me at LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Search Raj Gurn and the Open Chest Confidence Academy. Until next week, I hope you continue to cultivate your own ecosystem so that everyone in and around it is empowered by your mission to elevate them all. See you next week.